think. You all love me for making you think. It's after 11 now, so you can maybe do it. Just think about two questions and maybe try and write an answer down at the beginning before I start preaching. So I do have a few more pencils and pens if anyone needs. Is Josh already? Are you unprepared, Josh? There you go. Which we'll have a... Cool. So if you have a pen and paper, or you can use your phone, anywhere you can jot it down to see later. What I'd like you to think about, Xander's on the ball, is think about what are your circumstances today? So are you currently facing good circumstances or bad circumstances? Maybe they're just okay. And just to note that down. And then also secondly, what are you, maybe one thing you're trusting God for in prayer? Some of you might have a long list, but just write one thing down that you're trusting God for in prayer at the moment. And whilst you're all thinking, I'm going to get the children, wherever the children are, to come to the front because I have something for them to do during the preach. Who are children here? Yes, Val, you are a child of God, but you don't have to do this one. Great. Perfect. So here you go, Arlo Wala to me. There's one for you. There's one for you. There's one for you. So I'll show you an example. So you're going to draw around your hand. And then in the thumb, if you think of somebody in your family to pray for. In the pointy finger, if you think of one of your friends to pray for. In the middle finger, if you think of one of your teachers to pray for. In the ring finger, if you think of someone who's sick to pray for. And in the last one, think of something for yourself to pray for. Is that okay? Yeah. And you can do it in here, or you can use the tables at the back, whatever you... Is that okay? Yeah. I think your mum might help you all over to me. Cool. Has everyone managed to think of two things? I should have given Val the child's task there. They have five things to think of. Has everyone written something down? No, they're getting there. You're all. I'll like, give you a few more seconds.
One other piece of paper.
Cool. We ready? Yeah, cool. So today we are, I'll be finishing off our series that we've been doing through James, which is the letter of James in the New Testament, which is written by James, the half-brother of Jesus. We have probably spent a good part of this year going through the letter. We have had a few breaks here and there, but this will be the last preach on James. And next week we'll be starting a new series of preaching, and we're going to be talking about the church and the church as the body of Christ and family and what part that we each can play in the church. So that will be, from next week, we'll be starting a new series. But today I'll be finishing off this series through the letter of James. And some of us might be able to remember some of the preachers that we've had out of James, but he does cover quite a lot of different themes. But the main thing he talks about is living a life of authentic faith and what that means, what that looks like. And one of the other things that he talks about a lot in the letter is what we do with our tongue. And today, as we read in James 5, verse 13 to 18, James continues to talk about what we do with our tongue. And a lot of things through the letter, he's talked about what not to do. So not to grumble, not to complain, not to compare, not to judge, maybe not to blame God for our circumstances. Lots of different things he's told us not to do with our tongue. And now in his last words in this letter, he talks about things that we can do, that we should do with our tongue for good, and that is prayer and praise. So today we've already done quite a lot of prayer, which is why I turned to Timo during worship and said, I don't really need to preach because they're already doing everything. But yeah, we're going to learn a few lessons from these verses about prayer together today. So if we can turn to James 5, verse 13 to 18. It will come up on the screen because Xander's on the ball today. And this is out of the English Standard Version. So it says, Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, long time, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. I'm very glad we prayed for no rain yesterday, that it won't last for 3 years and 6 months. So in these five verses, he's going ahead of me, so it's fine. Xander's ahead of me. It's okay. In these five verses, James actually mentions prayer 7 times. So we're going to talk about a few lessons that we can learn from this about prayer. So the first one, which Xander's shown you already, is that James talks about praying for ourselves and how we can pray for ourselves. And he says in verse 13, is anyone among you suffering or facing troubles? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful or of glad heart? Let him sing praise. So that's why I wanted you to have a little think, stop and think, what circumstances are you actually facing right now? So some of you, it might be great circumstances. Some of you, it might be fine circumstances. Some of you, it might be quite difficult circumstances. And what James is saying is, no matter the circumstances, you can pray and praise God, no matter the circumstances. And we've been talking a bit about that already this morning, and we've been singing that, raising a hallelujah in the middle of suffering or in the middle of adversity. So maybe some of you this morning wrote down on that piece of paper that you're facing some troubled times, you're facing some trials, maybe things aren't going very well. And often in these times, we maybe start to complain, maybe start to grumble, maybe start to compare. Sometimes we can maybe even start to blame God or think that he's a bit distant in those times. And James is encouraging us that our first response to be prayer. Because when we pray, we put God first and we acknowledge that he is God, and we actually stop and are able to remember that he is bigger than whatever circumstances that we are in, and that we can put our trust in him again. Sometimes if we're going through the busyness and the troubles are hitting us one after the other, we don't actually stop and say, God, I want to give this to you. I want to give these worries to you. So James is encouraging them not to grumble and complain, but instead to use their words and their tongue to pray and to give those concerns to God. Maybe you are doing very well. We had a few weddings yesterday, so that hopefully they were all happy and cheerful circumstances. And so in times of joy and gladness, we can sometimes go to the opposite extreme and become quite complacent. So we can maybe think everything is going fine and we kind of forget about God, or we start to rely on our own strength. So James is encouraging us to praise God in those circumstances, to continue to give thanks and to continue to look to him. And Timo and I went to see Sola this week. And sorry, Sola. And I think one of the things that really stood out to me from that evening was how much she gave thanks to God for what he had given her. And it might not always be easy, but the things that she did have from God, she was giving thanks. Even in our conversations, she was thanking God for those things. And I think it's just a great encouragement for us that no matter the circumstances, we have a God who is a God in all seasons, and we can pray and praise him in all seasons. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to have everything sorted out. It doesn't matter how long our prayers are, or how eloquent we are at praying, or even where we pray, or what circumstances are. The main thing is that prayer is a real conversation and relationship with God, and it is just talking to him and being honest with him. And when I was preparing this, I really felt God speaking to me, but also to other people, saying that he is constantly inviting us to talk to him. That's what prayer is, and also listen to him. He is constantly inviting us to a relationship with him. So whatever your circumstances are, whatever you write down on that piece of paper, he is inviting you today and tomorrow and the next day, every minute, to come and talk with him, to come and pray and have relationship with him. So that's the first point. It's praying for ourselves. So maybe you're trusting God for something right now, maybe you're facing different circumstances, but you can pray in those seasons, you can pray in those circumstances and experience the peace that God can bring. You can give those anxieties and he can give you peace. So number one was praying for ourselves. And then in number two, James starts to talk about elders praying for the sick. So we see this in verse 14 and 15. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. So I realized when preparing this preach that you could probably spend a whole preach on just these two verses. So there is a lot to unpack in these verses, and I'm not going to unpack everything today. You'll be glad to know. So I'm kind of doing a skimming over the surface. So if anyone wants more information, they could ask me, or as it speaks quite a lot about elders, you can ask one of the elders. So there is plenty more. So if you have more questions or want any more, please come and chat afterwards. But I'm going to focus on a few points. And the first thing is talking about the person who is sick. So this isn't someone with a little cold or some aches and pains. It's someone that is actually in bed or in the house and can't leave. So why am I saying that? Because if you read the passage, it says, let him call for the elders. So this is someone who's having to call someone to come to their house because they actually can't get out. Like they can't go to church or they can't go to a life group or even just maybe to a neighbor to ask for some prayer. Most of us, as we had today, we can get to these things and we get prayed for then. But sometimes, as with Jamie in hospital, or you are in a bed and you can't leave. So this is what this scripture is talking about. It's talking about someone who's fairly sick and is housebound or too unwell to leave the house. Secondly, it's talking about the elders. And many of us will know that the elders are the spiritual leaders in the church. They are the ones that are shepherding the people and the father figures. They have a role to oversee us, to lead us, to guide us, to serve us, and protect us. And in 3CI, as a church, we have three elders, which is Reg, Danny, and Malcolm, who is currently away on holiday. So those are the people that the scripture is talking about. And then the scripture says that the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. So James is continuing to talk about this thing called faith. And we were talking about it a little bit today, and we were singing about it a little bit today in terms of what we believe, what we have faith for, what we can trust God for. And James is trying to highlight how important faith is when we pray. And this is also mirroring quite a lot of what Jesus said when he was ministering. He talked a lot about faith making you well, your faith bringing you healing. And that's what he talked about when he was ministering. So basically, when he says faith, he's talking about what he's been talking about throughout the letter, which is not doubting. So not being wavering between one opinion and another opinion, not being tossed about by what different people might say, but knowing who God is, trusting in God. And we were talking about that a little bit earlier today, but that we believe he is a God who hears our prayers and can answer our prayers. We believe he is a God who does heal the sick. We believe he is a God who is a good father who delights to give us the kingdom, delights to give us good and perfect gifts. And I think Danny was one that was reading the story about the leper, and it's where Jesus says, I am willing to heal. And we as Christians, each individuals and together, need to have a firm faith in who God is and that he is willing to give. He is willing to heal. He is willing to answer our prayers. And that's the place where we can pray from. And that's the prayer of faith that will heal the one who is sick. And James also goes on to say, if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. So there's different passages throughout the Bible where sickness and sin seem to be connected. There is a nice little word here that says, if he has committed. So there's also passages where it shows that they're not always connected. So sometimes sin can lead to sickness. Sometimes they can be together. But sometimes they're not together at all. And there are different chapters and verses for that as well, but I'm not going to go into all of them today. But the main thing is that God wants us to be completely healed, not just from physical sickness, but also from sin. And because of what Jesus did on that cross when he came to earth and he died for us, he took upon himself every sin, every wrongdoing, as well as every sickness and disease. And he paid that price and brought us victory over both. And God wants us to live in that victory and that healing and that wholeness in every area. So what James is saying is that when they pray over him, they will not only receive physical healing, but also spiritual healing. They'll receive forgiveness. And you can see that quite a lot in Jesus' ministry when he spoke to people and said, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk, and that they could almost be interchangeable. So that's what he's saying in this passage. And he wants us to be whole and healed. And the word for save in that verse is soze, which is again talking about the wholeness, and it's usually used for our salvation, but it can also be physical healing as well as forgiveness of sins. So I think that's maybe a thing to think about when we are praying for the sick and we are praying for other people, not just to think about physical healing, but think about emotional healing, you know, forgiveness, spiritual healing, the whole thing. God wants us to be completely whole. And then I think when you read this passage in verse 14 and verse 15, I did feel that I couldn't really share it all without trying to answer a question, which is, does everyone always get healed? Now, this is a question, he's laughing at me because I said there might be controversial questions. This is a question that I don't think anyone apart from God can answer. So many theologians and many Christians and many non-Christians probably have discussed and debated, and everyone has maybe different opinions, and no one feels like they've come to a complete answer. So I'm not going to try and give an actual answer. However, I'm going to try and bring some things from the Bible to give you something to think about. So firstly, there are many examples in the Bible, obviously, of people being miraculously healed, all the way from the Old Testament to the New Testament, in Jesus' ministry, but also after Jesus' ministry. And many of us here, even if you put your hand up, has anyone seen someone miraculously healed? Yeah. So even in this room, now in our days, we've seen people healed. And it might not even be like legs growing, but it could be they had a headache and it's gone. So we have seen many miracles, and we know that God does answer prayers. However, there were also people, I'm going to use biblical examples, people in the New Testament who were apostles and part of the team with Paul, who it says were sick or had been sick for quite a long time. And I'm sure they had prayed for them and they were not healed. So one of them is Timothy, and it's in 1 Timothy 5, verse 23, where Paul says to him, encourages him to maybe drink a little bit of wine, which would have been the medicinal things they had then for his stomach and for his ailments. So it sounds like he had had a bit of problems and sickness for a while, but hadn't been healed. And the other person was a guy called Trophimus. Don't know how you say his name. Trophimus. And it says that Paul had to leave him behind because he was not well. So he maybe had been healed later. It may have only been for a short time, but if he had to leave him behind, it was obviously enough for him that he couldn't journey on. So as you can see in the Bible, there are miraculous healings, but there are also some people that were Christians who maybe didn't get healed. So there's this constant balance, and we must remember that we live in a world that is fallen and full of sin, so sickness is part of that, and sin is part of that. But also, when we become Christians, we have the power of Jesus in us, and we have the victory that he's won for us, so we can expect and ask for healing and salvation through what he's done. So when we pray, actually, I think Roy mentioned it earlier, we pray for God's kingdom to come into our kingdom. We need his hand to come into ours. And that's what we're trusting for when we pray. And sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But the one thing I really want to say is that Jesus encouraged us to constantly ask and to keep on asking. Sometimes it might not happen straight away. Sometimes it might take a few times. Sometimes it might not happen even for a long time. But he said, ask and it will be given to you. So in Luke 11, verse 9, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And in verse 10, I think, he says, for everyone who asks, receive, and the one who seeks, finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. So sometimes we are living that constant balance of we have already received it, but we're not fully in it yet, because only in eternity will we have no pain and no suffering. But we also are encouraged to keep on asking and keep on praying. So I wanted to show you a little video clip, which is a testimony video from Try Praying. Some of you may have seen the little booklets for Try Praying. They have some stories and different things, and this is a story for one lady about her healing And it just shows a bit of this example. So I think hopefully it should work for you, Xander. It has got a bit of sound.
My name's Nairi, and this is Jonah. Earlier this year, I had an illness associated with feeding him, and it ran an infection all through my body. And there's lots of things I couldn't do, like the kids couldn't hug me anymore, I couldn't lift the buggy. On top of all that, I had pulled muscles in my chest wall. And as I went to the hospital, they told me there's nothing they could do for me. I just had to go home and take complete bed rest. But the illness would just heal up on its own within the 6 months. So life was pretty tough. I knew that God had to heal me. So a couple from the church came round to pray. And as they prayed with me the first time, light just flooded through my body. All I could see was bright light. And from that day, I didn't have this infection again, but I still had this terrible pain. So they came again. The second time the couple prayed with me, this light just went right through my body again, and the pain just left. And since that day, I've not had any pain. And so I just praise God, and now I'm still feeding the baby, and I'm still pain-free.
So that's just an example how sometimes we may ask once and maybe have to ask again, or maybe 3 times or 4 times. But it's just an encouragement that even though we might have discouragements along the way, Jesus encourages us to continue to press in, continue to ask, and continue to pray. So that was the second one, which is about the elders praying for the sick. And thirdly, in this passage, James talks about praying for one another, which is what we were doing today. And he says in verse 16, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." And that verse in different versions can say different things, but it's the prayer of a righteous person is very powerful and effective. So as you're praying, it can have great power and effect. And this verse if you actually unlock it, it has great power to change your life, but also the community as a church, which is why I titled this Power of a Praying Community. Because when we are in unity and when we are all right with God, our prayers can have great power and effect. So the first thing that James says is to confess our sins to one another. And sin can affect every single one of our relationships. And in the church, that we are the church, us as a body and a family, if there are relationships where there is sin and effect of sin, it can affect the entire church and the entire body. And this is why James is encouraging these Hebrews that have been scattered, these Christians that have been scattered everywhere, to confess their sins to each other. So if you know that you've offended a brother or a sister, to go to them and say sorry and ask for their forgiveness. Or if someone maybe comes to you and says sorry, to give that forgiveness quickly and freely. And when we do that, we bring reconciliation and we bring unity and we bring healing to those relationships. And can you imagine if the whole church, not just us, but the church in general, was living in reconciled relationships, how much power we would have and how much we can actually make a difference. And I think, James was encouraging the church, but God is really encouraging us that if you have any unforgiveness in your heart or if you have anything you need to go and say sorry for, to go and do that, because it not only affects you and maybe that person, it's actually affecting the whole body. It's changing things in your life, it's stopping things in their life, and it's stopping what we can do as a church community. So I want to encourage you today to think about that. Look into your heart and think, is there anyone I need to forgive, or is there anyone that I need to go say sorry to? Because when we are forgiven, and when we have forgiven, God forgives us. And he says that he forgives those when we have forgiven others. And when we are forgiven, we are made right and we are righteous. And that this verse is talking about the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So we need to constantly be forgiven, constantly be forgiving others and being made right. And that's where we can have power in our praying. And then he goes on to say, pray for each other, pray for one another. Now this is quite a broad verse, so it doesn't give a context about where or when. So we can pray for one another anytime. On the bus, when we're going around for meals, maybe when you're on your way to work or school, maybe at a Sunday morning meeting, maybe in our mentoring groups, when you're maybe doing some driving in the car, wherever we may be, but he's also focusing a lot on being together. So in our church, we have, obviously we have life groups and mentoring groups, and we try and have meals together. So those are opportunities to pray for one another. But also we have our Sunday meeting. We have prayer meeting at 10, which I think is staying at 10, even when we go back to 107C. So those are times when we can pray together. And we have a prayer meeting once a month on a Sunday evening called Magnify, where we can pray together. And James is saying that pray for one another and that our prayers can be powerful and effective. So I really want to encourage you to get involved with praying, wherever it may be, but praying together with other people, to come along to the prayer meetings, to join in, like when we're praying together on a Sunday morning, to join in when we're praying in life group. Maybe when you're going around for a meal for someone, offer to pray for them. It doesn't have to be starting with big steps. It can be small things as well, but tap into the power of that prayer, the power of praying to God, because he answers prayer. And we'll see a little bit, I'm not going to read any of the scriptures, but you can see all the Acts scriptures that in the early church, they devoted themselves to prayer. In Acts 3, it's the one that when they're on their way to the prayer meeting, that seems to be a daily occurrence when they go and pray. In 4 verse 31, it's when they are praying for boldness again after they've been arrested and stood in front of the council and they want to go out again and declare who Jesus is. There's in 12, that's when Peter's been thrown into prison and the whole church meet to pray for him and he miraculously exits the prison. And then Acts 16 is when Paul and Silas are in prison and are praying and praising God. I mean, there's plenty more. I just picked a few out. So prayer and prayer meetings and praying together and for one another was a big part of the early church, and it should be a big part for us as well. And it has great power. It can change things and do things in our community. And I was quickly going to share, on Friday, I think it was, I sent a message to our life group and said, does anyone have any answers to prayer this week? And Lorna said, she recently got a job in London, which was already an answer to prayer. And then she says, I've got a room in London. It was the third place I saw. The contract's already, it came this weekend. She's already signed it and she's got it. And she moves in on the 1st of September. I think she can move in there. Vivian, and I think that's probably why she's not here, she has a job trial today. She's been looking for a new job. So, I mean, there was a few more that came through as well, but that's just an example of we've been praying for some of those things in our life group, and God is answering prayers. So I encourage you to pray for one another and to join in these prayer times, because God is working through those things. And lastly, in these verses, in verse 17 and 18, James brings in a little bit of an illustration. And one of the reasons I think he does it is because even in here today, there'll be some people that are counting themselves out. You maybe think, I can't pray out loud, or I'm not very good at praying, or I don't compare to that person, or my relationship with God isn't fantastic, I can't pray to him. So James is using the example of Elijah, who was a prophet in the Old Testament, who to many of us we will think of as someone who did really miracles and we're not like him. But James specifically used him to say that he has a nature like ours, that he's just like us. He had his ups and he had his downs. He had great days and he had some days that were not fantastic, where he was hiding in a cave and very fearful for his life and thought he was the only one, even though he knew there were like 100 prophets in another place. So he had his own little pity party every now and again as well. So James is using him to say that this man who was like us, who had his ups and downs, prayed and prayed and prayed, and it stopped raining for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and it started raining. He also did other things, but that's the example that James uses. So I want to encourage you today, don't write yourself off. Don't disqualify yourself from these things. Don't say, but my prayers won't be powerful and effective, or I can't contribute to a prayer meeting. We are all part of this body, and we all need one another. We all have a role to play, and we need to pray, every single one of you, pray and contribute to that togetherness. So I want to encourage you, whether it's on your own, in your room, or coming to a meeting, or in a life group, take on this opportunity to pray for yourself, pray for one another, pray for the sick. And maybe think about what your expectations are when you are praying. So when we were in South Africa in 2012, someone said, when was the last time you prayed a sun standstill prayer? Because there's a story in the Old Testament about they prayed and the sun stood still so they could win the battle. So when I was preparing this message, I thought, when was the last time I prayed a rain-stopping prayer for 3.5 years of rain stopping, because we do pray for no rain for quite a lot. When was the last time I prayed that and actually expected it not to rain for a day or 3.5 years? So whatever your situation, whatever you've written down on that piece of paper for what you're trusting God for, what are you expecting? And I think when you come together and pray together, those expectations are raised. And that's why I want to encourage you to come to do that together as well. So that's what we're going to make space for today as I finish up this preach. We want to make space for us to pray for one another and maybe pray for those things that you've written down on your pieces of paper. So the last scripture I want to read is from 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. In the Message Bible, it says, "The first thing I want you to do is pray. Pray every way you know for everyone you know." So no matter where you are in your prayer journey, make time to pray. Pray the way you know and for everyone that you know. So today, as we kind of finish up this meeting, what I wanted to do was to encourage girls to go to girls, guys to go to guys, and to pray for one another. You can maybe choose the thing that's on your piece of paper, or you maybe want something else, but whoever you are, I want to encourage you, pray for one person and let them pray for you. And another thing, which you maybe don't have to do at this moment, is I encourage you to think, is there someone that you maybe need to go and say sorry to, or someone that you need to forgive, just in terms of those confessing of sins so that there can be unity and reconciliation and healing in those things. So I was going to ask Timo to come up and play a little bit. And whilst he's playing, if you can, find someone to pray for in these moments before we finish.